With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Friday, then Saturday, Sunday, what, ladies and gents? Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. The FA Cup third round is here and Pep Guardiola doesn't have WhatsApp. It's Friday, 8th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Welcome, one and all, to the Football Ramble. It's a bleeding pleasure. We're back in our... This is the first one I've done since we've been recording in our homes, Luke Moore. And my goodness, I miss you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I miss you too. And it's always nice to hear your voice, as most of the country will testify to, I'm sure. Sorry, that's an overstatement. Most of the Ramble Nation. Presumably all of the Ramble Nation. But anyway, Brassel sounded a little bit upset. You gave a really big pump in the intro. And then Brassel just went, and I'm Andy Brassel.
Yeah. It's because Andy hates the FA Cup, that's why.
Oh, pathetic.
It's actually because I'm recording a Nordic detective show from my house and I'm just dealing with a murder at the moment. You know, we've got to find ways to fill the hours while we're here at home, and I'm making a pitch for Walter on All Four, obviously.
And Andy, in this Nordic show in which you star, do you have an incredibly large knob as well?
Yeah, very
nice.
Is
that how you sniff him out?
He's got love.
Second boy. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's probably the start that we were all hoping for. But will Andy provide the big finish? That is the question for Luke's game later. Gentlemen, Luke, you love the FA Cup third round. It's your favourite weekend of the year. Of course, the pandemic's put a bit of a dampener on it and so on, and some games are in trouble or in danger of being called off. But the FA Cup third round is going to happen. You must be getting your cheapies.
Yeah, because for me, in normal times, the FA Cup third round's a weekend I look forward to every single year, because you get basically wall-to-wall football. And if the broadcasting partners choose the right games, which they don't always, I remember BBC go through that phase where they think, oh my God, we get a Premier League game. So we have to pick that every time. Other than that, you normally get some really good games. Like, I love my absolute peak FA Cup third round experience is a team that you've possibly never really heard of at home against a Premier League team. Fast forward to 60 minutes gone, it's getting dark, the crowd are getting pumped, and it's 0-0.
Yeah.
That's your ultimate experience.
Yeah.
And there's goal mouth scrambles and all sorts going on.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. I think that we often say that the classic sort of grounds for a cup sit is a Premier League side not doing very well. They're away to a Championship side or a League One side, and that's got the grounds. But sadly, that all seems to point to Fulham in a West London derby.
And I wonder whether it will be as good this year because we have an absence of fans, right? And more than any other, more than any other kind of competition or tourney, you need fans in the FA Cup at this point.
Agreed.
It's a shame otherwise.
It is. It is. Andy, on the subject of Queen's Park Rangers, do you think that, because there's rumours that Mark Warburton might lose his job, and there's chat that old Timmy Sherwood might come in, should they have done that before this fixture or after, considering the bounce that Sherwood would give them?
I would say about 45 years after.
I think Tim Sherwood would be a lovely addition to the third round of the FA Cup.
He's had his work, mate, isn't he?
Can you imagine? It would be wonderful.
It would indeed. Well, tonight, gentlemen, we've got games. Well, assuming Aston Villa and Liverpool is still on, there was chat that it could be in trouble as well. Mm. But you've got Villa versus Liverpool and Wolves versus Palace. So two big Premier League games to kick us off with. But as you say, Luke, you know, the games we really look forward to are the kind of lower league sides playing in the FA Cup, and slightly dampened this year because of the fans and whatnot. But Villa, Liverpool, and Wolves Palace, it's not a bad start to the cup, especially where Liverpool last time they went to Villa Park, they got gubbed 7-2. One can easily forget, Luke.
Yeah, but the problem is with when it comes to Liverpool in the FA Cup is you know, what team are they going to pick, right? Mm. So if you look at the chat that's been made and the potential for, well, but first of all, I probably should say, to be absolutely even-handed before I pile it on Liverpool for fun, they've got a lot of injuries, but who are they going to play in this game against Villa? They're probably going to play Shaqiri, they're probably going to play Minamino, they're probably going to play Origi. They might actually play Thiago, which will be great because that he needs to get back to fitness and he's a great player to watch. So it does depend on that. And the one thing I am worried about is that you kick off this great weekend of football, which it normally is. You've mentioned the fans point, but they go for two Premier League games, which I'll take your point, Marcus, but they might be a bit underwhelming. Liverpool are probably going to phone it in. Aston Villa are going great guns in the league and maybe don't want to upset the apple cart there. So they might want to take an opportunity in this season of all seasons to have a little break. So it might be a bit of a damp squib. I hope not, but I think the real competition gets underway when you're watching teams like Boreham Wood and Marine, but I know we're going to come on to them. So I will be watching tonight, obviously, but I'm fearful, that's all.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, Villa's first team and management staff look due to be absent from this game, Andy, and the under-23 and academy players playing and whatnot. There was some rather hilarious chat, if you find this sort of thing funny, which I think I do, with former Villa players like Gabby Agbonlahor, Alan Hutton and Mark Bunt offering their services for the tie, which, let's be honest, Andy, that would certainly give us a bit of January cheer, wouldn't it?
I would be tuning in if Agbonlahor and Hutts were playing. There's absolutely no doubt about it. The Scottish Cafu, it'd be absolutely magnificent.
Do you know what?
I would love to see it.
Gabby Agbonlahor actually tweeted, and I don't think this was, because obviously they're having a bit of a laugh there. Well, I hope so anyway. But Agbonlahor did tweet not that long ago, people telling me that I could still do a job for like a small club or something like that. What do you reckon? And I was like,
yeah, I saw that. And he was saying that he wanted to do a year or two back at any club that would have him and he would do it for free. Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to be rude to Gabby. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a nice fella. But I mean, there's a couple of points I'd like to make on this, if I may be so bold. One is that he didn't really score goals when he was playing. And two, no one's taken him up on the offer. No one. So, I mean, that's probably telling you the story there, isn't it?
It might do.
It's funny because I saw Alan Hutton doing some TV punditry. I think it was on Sky recently. And I was shocked because he looked just like he did when he was playing. And it was one of those ones where you think, yeah, he could still be a player. Having said that, I do have that feeling when I see the actual Cafu and he is 50. But, of course, I could only see Alan Hutton's head and shoulders. So that was possibly a bit of a break on a reasonable judgment.
Well, speaking of wingers and other players that may be coming in and out, you've seen that according to Spanish TV, Liverpool are interested in signing Sergio Ramos. But, of course, Mo Salah, there's talk of him going to perhaps Real Madrid or something. Andy, do you think that could be a little bit of a switcheroo there? Although I can't really see Klopp going for Sergio Ramos.
I mean, there's not going to be a direct thing in the deal because there's only 6 months of Sergio Ramos's contract left. But it's interesting because there was a lot made in various Spanish media areas recently of the fact that there have been no formal discussions for Sergio Ramos's contract, only informal discussions between him and Florentino Perez. But given that they're like father and son, what sort of formality does there need to be? Them sort of sat at either end of a long table with him going to the butler, pass the salt. I really don't know. Because, you know, this the two belong together. I think they will find a way to get it done. Of course, his people have leaked stuff to the media, like he'd love to play with Messi at Paris Saint-Germain and all that sort of stuff. What he basically wants is 2 years. And if they give it to him, he will sign it. And if they don't give it to him, one of the extra muscles he's grown during lockdown will take it, I think.
But I find one of the things that's been mentioned in this chat about all these players that are now coming to the end of their contract, of course, if they get 6 months from the end, they can negotiate with other teams, as you've alluded to there, Andy. I wonder whether people are starting to be much more reticent to make a move to somewhere completely different, because all the steps you would ordinarily make about moving your family to another country, checking it out, going to visit, you can't really do any of that, and you haven't really been doing any of that meaningfully for some time now. So if it comes down to the crunch where your club is pressuring you to sign a new contract because otherwise they're going to lose you for nothing, you might be backed into a corner or have to take quite a big risk with your family and your circumstances. So I wonder whether what we're living through at the moment is probably making it even less likely for players to move.
Well, I think in any situation, signing a deal now for 6 months down the line, so much can change in normal football, can't it? In terms of the coach can go, there's a major championship between now and then. In terms of security, you're far better to wait and see, I think. I mean, with Sergio Ramos, I don't think fitness is really an issue. I mean, he's like the Godzilla of football, really, isn't he? And he'll just continue as long as he wants to. I mean, you know, he's sort of gone beyond the normal boundaries of what is a great defender, because I'm still not completely convinced he is one, or certainly a great footballer, but his personality is just oozing out so much. He's a bit like the defensive Cristiano Ronaldo. At the moment, you feel he's just going to go on forever. And why would Real Madrid want to chuck that? I mean, you know, it's brought up time and time again that they let players go into the last year of their contract, because the most convincing thing, if from Real Madrid's perspective, is, well, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go that's better than this? And for once, no one can say Barcelona for a start, can they? So,
well, if he's the Godzilla of football, maybe he should go to Japan, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. I like the sound of that. I could see him stomping through New York City, obviously. I mean, you know, that's classic movie fodder, isn't it?
Yeah, very true. Either way, gentlemen, wherever Ramos goes, we hope it's to the Premier League, because that would be quite hilarious. But tonight's game with Liverpool or Villa versus Liverpool, we don't expect to see too many big names on show. We should say that the competition rules in the FA Cup do state that clubs are expected to fulfil their fixtures if they have 14 eligible players available, including from under 23 and under 18 squad.
Yeah, and I think, Marcus, one of the things that's probably worth pointing out is if our listeners are sitting here listening to the show thinking, well, how come some games are being cancelled and some games aren't? It is pretty confusing, so it's good to get that clarification. And I do also feel like if you look at a top flight club's fixture list, I think someone shared Spurs's the other day. Like, I don't know if they're even possible to be postponing and rearranging more than maybe even one or two games total for a lot of these teams, because UEFA aren't budging on when they want to hold the Euros, and there's just no room in the calendar. Spurs' calendar already looks like they're playing a game every 4 days, basically between now and June. Andy, I don't know if you want to kind of come in and correct me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. So it's almost impossible now to be postponing or rearranging games. So they're going to have to force teams to do walkovers or to forfeit games in cup competitions, right?
Well, I think Miguel Delaney put it as a lot of us have been thinking for a while. You know, the fact that they've organised exactly the same football as normal in 2 months less, you know, where was it ever going to go wrong? I just find it extraordinary that if you go back to, well, it's a long time ago, I suppose, now, last March, and so much has happened since. The fact that straight away, when there was the possibility, before we knew how big any of this was, that the odd game would have to be postponed and shifted, and there was a major panic, that should have told people, anyone, and especially football administrators, that there's an unsustainable amount of football. But then, of course, we decide not only is that not the case, but we need to play the same amount of football, not less football, but the same amount of football in less amount of time. I mean, I know Pete's spoken eloquently on what the Euros is going to look like next summer. I mean, I think that's the last thing any of us need to worry about, because so much could change between now and then. But it was inevitable that something like this was going to happen, and there were going to be little setbacks at some point.
I also think that we need to start thinking outside the box here. I mean, players, remember when we used to have those It's a Knockout tournaments back in the day, where all these different famous people would do these different challenges? And, you know, and there was before that, there were superstars, and Keegan did his thing on it. We need to start doing that. No one can go out. Everyone's watching TV. Get them to do something else. They've already got the TV spot, 2 hours or whatever it is, on Friday night on the BBC. Do something else.
I know, yeah. Well, I remember It's a Grand Royal Knockout with all the royals involved. They had teams as well.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Prince Andrew was involved.
Tell me less about that. But I also, can I just make one more FA Cup point? And I might have made it before, so forgive me. And Marcus, you can chastise me if I have.
Okay.
But the narrative around FA Cup is that the big teams don't take it seriously anymore.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity for the smaller teams to do something. Now, I understand a few of them made semi-finals. Mm-hmm. You might even have one or two instances of a quote-unquote small team or a non-top flight team making the final. Cardiff City did it. Millwall did it just before that. But the list of teams who win this competition is all the big teams, with the odd exception. You've got Portsmouth and Wigan Athletic in there.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's won by big teams every single year. So they must be taking it quite seriously.
You sound like Jose Mourinho talking up the League Cup.
Yeah. But the League Cup, this is the thing.
His point stands.
Marcus, I was thinking about this as well, because this exact point, when I was in the kitchen cooking my dinner the other night, and they were talking about the League Cup after Spurs won the semi. And they were talking about it quite disdainfully on the radio. And I was thinking, hang on, guys.
Yeah.
And you guys could come in on this. Is it a major cup or not? Let's make a decision on it. Because it's not like the Community Shield, but it's also probably, we'd agree, not like the FA Cup for some reason, even though you only play league teams in it.
It is a major cup. End of.
Yeah.
End of,
I think,
bruv.
So as well.
Yeah. And Mourinho's right.
Andy, do you respect it? Andy, Marcus, I bet Andy doesn't respect it.
Andy, do you respect the League Cup?
No, I think it's a dreadful
right,
financial
mute him.
Excuse.
Get him out.
Right. Andy, do you respect Arsenal Fan TV?
I watched that last night with my Arsenal supporting mate.
I bet you did.
Oh, it's classic. It is classic.
Gentlemen, I'd love to move on to Marine versus Spurs. Marine FC, of course. I mean, sadly for them, they've missed out on a sort of a potential potential revenue of about £100,000 for this match due to the pandemic. But Jamie Carragher is sponsoring them through his charity JC23. He's specifically sponsoring the dugouts and their warm up tops, which I quite enjoy. I didn't realise you could just go so specifically. Maybe like the Football Ramble, we can sponsor like a right back's left boot or something like that.
We should.
But apparently, because we were really looking forward to this cup tie, and I'm sure the good people of Marine FC were as well, because it is such a kind of, in terms of professional football, this is real kind of grassroots stuff. They have numbers on their fence along the pitch, which equates to the house numbers in case the ball goes over, which is, again, like we're talking about, Spurs are playing them. Do you know what I mean?
You should make them go and do it. You should make the Spurs players go and get it.
Yeah, exactly. Harry, go around and knock on number 27 store.
Ask
Mrs. Miggins for the ball back. Apparently, Marine hold a Guinness World Record for the longest managerial stint.
Yeah.
Rowley Howard managed them from 1972 to 2005, and he played a 4-4-2 every season.
And this is a beautiful draw, actually, because it's easy to forget when this came out the hat initially, Spurs were top of the Premier League.
Yep.
And at that point, it's the absolute pinnacle of FA Cup draws. Now, a bit like Luke was saying before, in normal times, when you've got supporters in the stadium, there would be fervour around this as there is around FA Cup. You know, you think about FA Cup classics like 20, 30 years ago. I think it would have been one of those. I think it would have been a real blast from the past. And I can't imagine how Marine supporters feel, because it must be tough. It must be tough. I mean, like in a small way, I sort of feel like less bad about the fact that Wimbledon lost to Crawley in the second round and ended up missing out on playing Bielsa, because that would have been an incredible third round tie. But I kind of feel that it wouldn't be an incredible third round tie without any fans in. And, you know, you think of Hereford Newcastle and, you know, Sutton United versus Coventry and all those classics, don't you? And how much the intensity of the occasion by the fans was a huge part of that. I mean, when you started speaking about the third round at the start, Marcus, the first thing that popped into my head was Sutton United.
So, yeah, the roly-poly goalie. This is right up there, isn't it? I mean, you have local resident Carlo Ancelotti as well for Marine FC, giving them a good luck message. And he also gave out an invitation to Jose Mourinho, though I'm sure this is it's not valid anymore. He said, because of the pandemic, I have to invite Mourinho for a drink after the game, if it will be possible, which looks like it's not. I have to talk to him about the beach and the nice area that Crosby is. I did think to myself, though, that I think in the rules, I think these would be okay, that the two of them could have a walk together. So I'd like to think Ancelotti and Mourinho having a stroll down the beach after the game, presumably while all the Spurs players just sit in the bus and wait to go home.
Marcus, could he stand in his front garden, perhaps? I mean, because I couldn't see 2004 Mourinho standing in Carlo Ancelotti's front garden. But now, I mean, you know, it's not going to ruin his clothes or anything like that, is it?
Well, I'm not sure of the rules on gardens, Andy. You have to check that. But I don't think one of the houses that backs onto the pitch is where Carlo Ancelotti's living, something tells me. But another thing, remember we were talking about Messi's record recently with Budweiser sending goalkeepers beers and all that kind of stuff. Well, Budweiser bought Marine AFC team a full fridge of beers, which John Barnes apparently presented remotely to them. What is with Budweiser sending people beer? Because they're not selling.
How do you present beers to people remotely? It's not a presentation, is it? You're just standing on there just talking while something else is happening.
We've got a load of beers for you here, but John Barnes is going to drink them for you.
You can't have them. Yeah. I cannot stress enough how much I hate what happened with those beers being sent to those goalkeepers. That, to me, I'd have if it was me receiving that beer as a top flight goalkeeper of some repute, and we're talking the level of like Gigi Buffon here, I would agree to do the photo shoot, and then every time they tried to take a photo or film it, I would smash the bottle on the floor.
Yeah.
It's absolutely outrageous. And on the Marine thing, it is great that people are stepping up and sponsoring. I saw The Athletic are doing but they're sponsoring the back of the jerseys for the game against Spurs as well. So hopefully they'll get a bit more revenue from that, and that'll be the fillip that they usually would receive had they drawn someone like Spurs in the FA Cup usually. And I would also like to stress, you might want to make it clear to your fullbacks and your wide players, if you are going to go over the fences to get the ball back, do make sure that you keep a 2 metre distance from the residents, because the last thing we want is the game to become a difficult super spreader event or the like. You know, we have to be responsible about this.
Yeah, and that, well done, Luke.
Thanks.
You're absolutely right. Before we go to a little break, Andy, while we're on the subject of Spurs, PSG reportedly putting together a package to sign Dele Alli. I mean, I admire their sort of, you know, attempt to kind of socially distance, but you don't need to kind of send him over in a little package.
Why do they say package, Marcus?
I don't know. It's some sort of Amazon delivery kind of thing. But Andy, what do you think? Is Dele Alli, what are you hearing through the rumour mill? You think Dele Alli could end up at Paris Saint-Germain?
Well, the package will be waiting at the cusp of the tunnel for 4 days. I think that's pretty clear.
Political. Brussels getting political. Outrageous scenes.
What do you reckon,
Andy? It's just practicality, Luke. That's all it is. You've got to respect how it is in the transfer window. Once that fax has gone through.
Yeah.
I think, of course, Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli are the ones who've been most closely linked to Poch. I think Dele Alli is the one that makes better sense because he's more versatile. He can fill more gaps in the midfield. I mean, as we mentioned on yesterday's OTC that's on available on Football Ramble Presents with Dotton and David Cartledge, they ended up in Pochettino's debut at St Etienne playing Verratti as this sort of hybrid number 10, because Pochettino obviously feels they've got so little creativity there. So obviously a lot of people will think, well, number 10 is the spot that Eriksen would fill. But you need to build the team around Eriksen. That didn't work into when they sort of, you know, tried him in a few different positions and the team wasn't built around him. Whereas Alli can play off a striker and he can play a little bit deeper. Of course, he played in quite a deep midfield role when he first arrived at Spurs in the first place. And of course, there's the fact that he's really treading water at the moment. And if Spurs even want to sell him at some point, they need to get him out there and actually put him before eyes that show he can still play at a really good level. So I think it'd suit everyone all around, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, of course, Andy, you've mentioned Pochettino at PSG. In fact, more than a mention, I would say, on the continent yesterday on Football Ramble Presents. What else did you mention?
Well, we talked about the game of the season in Serie A already, 5 days in, between Milan and Juventus, where Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't the main figure. And also Messi finding himself at last in the Basque Country. Who would have thought he'd be hiding there?
Yeah. Well, you're traveling. Got a guitar around a fire.
I believe it's consistent with current rules in Spain, Luke. So, you know,
hang on, has Lionel Messi got dreadlocks? Is that what you're saying? I need to go back and listen.
You need to listen to find out. Is he wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a quick break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the self-care club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney. Which we didn't really have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruges.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
Calm down, Jordan. Calm down. Breathe.
Jordan! Happy place, Turf Moor. You're at Turf Moor.
Oh,
God. We're Welcome back.
Jordan Henderson there.
What on earth was that?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Never mind that, Andy. It's time for this.
Just email the show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, Fish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy,
Yeah, it is time for emails. I'm going to do the first one in just a second, but I want to let you guys know about a little thought experiment I had when doing the show on Wednesday or whenever it was I did it last. I can't remember. All the days going to one now. It's the year 2026 and we're in year six of the pandemic and the whole world is just a massive wasteland and I flicked the radio on and the Christmas number one is that fucking jingle. right. As it's FA Cup week, you guys will no doubt be unsurprised to find out that Damian Cunningham has been in touch.
Ah, the big DC.
Yeah, so if you are a regular listener to the show, he needs no introduction. If you are a new listener to the show, stop whatever it is you're doing, strap yourself in, because it's about to get a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Damon says, that's right, it's that time of year again when the football and its corresponding coverage is so dreary it makes you want to vomit. On top of everything else now, fans have to endure the FA Cup, which is the shitty icing on the turdy cake.
How dare Damon you,
Damon. Damon Cunningham hates the FA Cup, basically.
Yeah, that's why I call him Damie Cunny.
Yeah, for some reason, Marcus, and we'll have a word with the production staff about this after the show, we keep getting emails put in the running order from him. I'll take that up with the authorities afterwards.
He's infiltrated us, let's be honest.
I think it might be an alter ego for someone who's present within the organisation. This is turned into a John Le Carre type.
This is like, this is the Departed, I'm telling you.
It's David Cunningham with an anagram for Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Anyway, is this Jules Breach fucking us up?
Yeah,
anyway,
maybe.
But don't worry, gentle ramblers, the hot take kid, brackets me, is here to trample down the gloom and remind everyone that the tedious sewage pump known as the FA Cup doesn't have to be the moribund cesspool we've all grudgingly accepted.
It's Pete Donaldson. That is Pete Donaldson language. <Yeah. laughs>
Pete Donaldson says that about everything.
Yeah.
For those not in the know, rewind a year ago to listen to some hearty back and forth, one way of describing it, in which I explained to the ramble how we can save the FA Cup by making a few small tweaks in the competition's format to make it enjoyable for everyone involved. Making the competition lousier than usual, of course, this year is the lack of fans for lower league clubs. Perhaps if the Cup was postponed indefinitely until things are better, they could play a whole competition from the fourth round through to the final in one day, like a deathmatch tournament.
Right.
Are we talking about at goals or something like that, or at Power League? Because if that's the case, I'm on board. And I want us to play in it as well.
I don't think that this has been thought through much in any way, shape or form. Anyway,
I have to say, Luke, it would be wonderful. Let me try and sell it to you for a second. If the football ramble were in the FA Cup, I mean, I cannot imagine anything better than Heung-min Song gliding past you, you flattening him, and you go, ref, he's just too fast for me.
Well, he would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 40. He absolutely would be. I mean, Marcus, the plot thickens here. I mean, it's in many ways, until Andy supported Damian publicly on the show, in many ways, it was the perfect crime. One of the world's leading football experts sending in consistently the shittest emails with the worst ideas in the history of football broadcasting. Yeah. It was almost a perfect crime, Russell, but you've outed yourself now.
Anyway, fans have Damian, to endure the League Cup.
Damian / Andy finishes by saying this. Surely there are other creative ways to help make up for the lack of fans and make these matches a worthwhile spectacle. So I call on everyone to clog the... Well, I'm not reading that. Andy, the next email's up. I'm not doing it.
Some decorum from Peter Martin. Listening to Vish trying to come up with some fish-based players today took me back to a few years when my team Salisbury City, then in the conference, had both John Bass and Ian Herring playing for us. Lovely. The conference of that time period may have been able to scrape together a five-a-side team as Giuseppe Sol was also playing for Woking around the same time. I'm presuming it's Giuseppe Sole, but you have to say Giuseppe Sol just to get it across on radio, right?
John Bass and Ian Herring. Has someone fact-checked that?
I don't know. I do
Ian
not
Herring.
Know.
It's not a person.
Yeah, well, Alana Hunt has been in touch as well with some crackers and some clangers after, in her words, a 3 a.m. brainstorm.
Oh, good. That's made it in.
Yeah, I know. Luca Codrich.
Nice.
Yes.
Tim Krill.
Tim Krill.
Mackerel Keane, Virgil van Pike. Good, not bad. Raheem Sturgeon, Aaron Wan Bissaka, Trout, Alexander Arnold. Didn't like that one. Luke Moore, this one you like. Harry Red Snapper.
Oh, that'll cost you.
Yeah, and my personal favourite, Hammerhead Rodriguez. I'd like to chuck in for my own one, Scott Minow. Scott Minow.
That's nice. That is
there.
Nice.
We are. All right.
Very good.
There ends the emails. Thank goodness. No, we do appreciate your correspondence very much. Back to
some
the FA Cup, though. Yeah, usually we appreciate it. Back to the FA Cup. Now, talk about cup sets in the making and so on. Luke, what would you think to Boreham Wood versus Millwall?
Yeah, I like that Big Matt Reid's back involved.
36-year-old Big Matty Reid, the battering ram.
Yeah. The thing is, so I've got a bit of split loyalties here, and I'm ambivalent about this because
you don't want to get a kick in off Matt Reid or Millwall fans.
No, well, I don't mind about Millwall fans. They've always been perfectly reasonable to me.
Okay.
So Matt Reid is clearly someone who's had a great career at a certain level, and he's done much better in football than any of us. And I shouldn't be disrespectful to Matt Reid. On the other hand, it is impossible to do a football show talking about Matt Reid without being disrespectful to Matt Reid. So I think what I'm going to say is I once saw him score an overhead kick for Lincoln.
Shut up.
It was the shittest overhead kick I've ever seen, but it was from quite far out and it went in the corner and leave it there.
That's fair. Any overhead kick.
But Marcus, it was one of those ones when the ball was spinning the right way, was in the air for quite a long time, and he kind of just fell backwards and threw his leg at it. It wasn't one of those flick your first leg up get some height.
Believe me, I didn't think it was one of them.
Sorry, yeah, what am I talking about?
No, I don't think there was any athleticism.
It kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, but it's still an overhead kick, though.
Hmm.
So you've got to... Because people, if you don't remember Matt Reid or you don't know him, he starred in Lincoln City's FA Cup run in 2016-17 when they got all the way to the quarterfinals. And I think they were a non-league side at the time. It was absolutely incredible. The Cowley brothers were in charge of Lincoln. And he was there, and he was this... Because he was a little bit rotund for a footballer. You know, he was often featured, although he didn't score a single goal in their FA Cup run that year. I think because he was holding everybody off and trying to kind of make room for other players. He also played in Mansfield's third round cup tie against Liverpool in 2013 when Luis Suarez scored the only goal with a handball, obviously.
Luis Suarez against Mansfield.
You remember that?
Fucking hell. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Got to bring on the big guns, haven't you?
Don't you respect that? The fact that no game is too small for him to cheat in. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it shows you his winning mentality, Andy. You win at all costs. It doesn't matter which competition and which team he's playing in.
That is really, you know, five-a-side in the back garden with the kids, isn't it?
It is. Now, since the end of October, Andy, Millwall have won just one game. Boreham would find themselves in 11th in the conference premier, although they have a few games in hand on most of the teams above them. And so, you know, if they win a couple of games, they could be in the kind of, you know, maybe a bit of chat about promotion, although Torquay are kicking ass this season. What I'm saying, Andy, is this going to be a cup set? Come on, surely.
Well, I think there might be. And I always keep a little bit of an eye on Boreham Wood because Luke Garrard, former Wimbledon player, who was always a great leader on the pitch, has been their manager for some time now. And basically, any manager that AFC Wimbledon employ has to have previously played for Wimbledon or AFC Wimbledon. That seems to be the law. So presumably, he's going to rock up at Plough Lane at some point. And so I am keeping a very, very keen eye on him.
Yeah, we should be. But, I mean, there's lots of fixtures in the FA Cup, of course, in the third round. Well, there's loads of them, literally, but there's lots of decent ones to look out for, even including Arsenal facing Newcastle. I don't know what would constitute an upset there, whoever won, but Newcastle scored.
I'd be quite upset watching it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yes, that is going to be a cup
Leave
upset
it at
of
that.
Sorts. absolutely right. It'd be nice to see Middlesbrough go away to Brentford as well. Neil Warnock back in the cup. So we do look forward to that. Gentlemen, I'd like to move us away from the FA Cup, more specifically to Pep Guardiola's mobile phone. It was revealed this week that his some of his former Spain teammates, specifically from the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, have a WhatsApp group. And apparently Pep Guardiola is not involved in the WhatsApp group. This was because Santiago Canizares was talking about this, and he said that Pep Guardiola is not involved because of his views on Catalan independence, saying that Guardiola's brain has been mutated by Catalan nationalism, and apparently he's rather keen on it, shall we say, without getting into sort of troubled waters there.
I read this and I just thought Pep's probably just busy.
Yeah, I think...
He's just got a full-time job, hasn't he? So,
I'd imagine he's busier than sort of probably most of them, even if the others do have full-time jobs. Because
yeah,
Guardiola...
Marcus, I would say that if... My justification if I was Pep would be, this is a news story solely because it involves me, and just leave it there.
Yeah. Well, to be fair to Cannizzaro, I mean, we remember Cannizzaro as being a fine goalkeeper.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
And for his aftershave accident, of course.
The aftershave, yeah, exactly. He ruled him out the World Cup. He said that I can't invite Guardiola to the WhatsApp group because I'm not a group administrator. If only you knew someone who was. I don't have his number, and he says he doesn't have WhatsApp. Now, there's a lot in there. Firstly, I can't invite him to the group because I'm not an administrator. Well, just say to the administrator, say, oh, by the way, can we get Pep involved? Yeah, you remember him, don't you? He played
Which
for
Pep?
Us for a bit.
Fuck
yeah.
off.
Pepe Mel, he never played for us. No, Pep Guardiola. Right, okay, that's the one. I don't have his number. Again, shouldn't be hard to get hold of. And he says that he doesn't have WhatsApp. Well, Santiago, I've got news for you that a headline from March 2020, only last year, from a national newspaper in this country read, Manchester City squad using WhatsApp to update Pep Guardiola during coronavirus shutdown. He's got WhatsApp. Who's mugging off who here, Cannizzaro is?
Detective Speller on the case. This is amazing scenes. What are you going to unveil next? Follow the money, Marcus. That's what I say.
Also, I can tell Marcus is getting his game face on early here because when you say, not Santi Cannizzaro's, but Santiago, I mean, he's telling him off. You've been told off by Marcus Speller.
Andrew Brashel, just you watch yourself, okay? So I do quite like this. And I think basically, Pep Guardiola probably doesn't fancy it, as you say, Luke, but I reckon the group just think, he's just going to bore off about tactics in Catalonia.
Oh,
let's just enjoy the group without him.
It would be, look, I feel sorry for Pep on one level here. I think that people are, I mean, obviously what's happened is some journalists asked him a question and he's answered it. But if there is a chance that they are they're kind of making hay off of Pep Guardiola's name because of what he's achieved, then that's poor. But I do also, on the other hand, think that inviting Pep Guardiola to anything would be like inviting a teacher to a birthday party. And so I'm in perfect kind of harmony with Cannizzaro's on that front. Just say that you think it'd be boring. Just say that all he would do is send GIFs of fucking tactical formations and you don't want to know because you've retired now. You know, that's all it's going
to
be.
Is this why I don't get invited to Ramble Drinks?
Yes.
Oh. No, it's because you can't be trusted with the way you drink, Andy.
Andy, can I just say, lest anyone out there think that that's a real thing, you always get invited to everything all the time. And to be fair to you, you always attend.
And Andy doesn't drink alcohol as well.
No,
that's
exactly.
The joke. That's the hilarious gag, ladies and gentlemen.
Me and Spells fighting over the Baileys.
Yeah, we can only have one Bailey's, secret Bailey's drinker in there. But yeah, clearly, as you say, Luke, Guardiola would just go on about, lads, you remember that game that we won 2-0? Well, if we'd have set up this way, we would have won 3-0 and we'd have kept the ball out. I'll just
it was
off.
In 1993, Pep.
Exactly. Right, gentlemen, before we go to four to score, there's a little bit of transfer rumours happening. Of course, the window is open. And West Ham and Sebastian Allaire are subject to the big man moving to Ajax. So, Andy, what do you think of this, Andy? It seems quite odd. I mean, talking of overhead goals, Andy, he scored an absolute beauty the other week.
He has. And afterwards, I think David Moyes complained that he didn't score more tap-ins. So,
right, you're off here now.
I think
get
you
out
can
of
tell which way the wind's blowing after that. I mean, I think he suffered a little bit from the fact that he had the perfect click with the players around him at Eintracht Frankfurt. I mean, he was part of a terrific front three, and there never really seemed to be a plan for him at West Ham. Obviously, he's got to take his share of the responsibility. But he came over, he gave it a go. He gave us a brilliant Ramble meet. We can't forget that, of course. No. And he's going to score an absolute shit ton of goals for Ajax, isn't he?
Well, David Moyes is rumoured to be interested in a move for Josh King. And if that fails, then Graziano Pella, remember him? 35-year-old Italian striker, recently released from Shandong Luoyang. He might turn up in the Premier League once again because he left when he'd done quite well for Southampton, I think it was. And people thought, you've gone too soon. And then you found out his wages and you thought, well, you can't really begrudge him, man.
Yeah, and look, Marcus, I think you got a couple of... You're absolutely right there. I think he almost falls into the bracket that Oscar fell into, where he just said, clearly the most important thing to me is to make as much money as I can, and I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to pass any judgment upon that. But Graziano Pello is now 35. Now, I don't watch as much Chinese football as all of our listeners out there.
No.
But imagine how good Pella looks now at 35. He'll have that ruggedness about him. He was one of the most handsome players in the Premier League's history.
Yeah, that's true.
If he comes back at 35 with a little few more miles on the clock, he's going to look like fucking James Bond. That's what he's going to look like.
Hammers
and I'm
Bond.
For it.
Yeah.
Pay as much money as it takes.
Get
they
that
will.
Man back.
They will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's West Ham. Of course they fucking will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Andy, what was it? Matthew Guendouzi, who's on loan, of course, at Hertha, posted on Instagram the other week celebrating his goal, to which William Saliba replied, "I'm sending well wishes to the brother that was locked up like me." And Guendouzi replied, "We are together, bro." Now,
apart from the fact that Guendouzi is in a freezing cold capital city and Saliba is in Nice. But apart from that, yeah, they're together, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, some funny ones with Arsenal. I mean, Saliba, of course, he moved to Arsenal. He went on loan. He hasn't played too much, and then he's gone to Nice now. I mean, it's a bit of a strange thing. But Arsenal have signed Omar Rekic from Hertha. What do you know about him?
Well, he's the younger brother of Karim, and that's pretty much it so far.
Lovely. Okay.
Because he's not been in the first team. But it'd be interesting to see how that pans out. People think he's got enormous potential, but going back to Saliba, I find it extraordinary that how is it that at some point this season he's not been good enough to get in the Arsenal team? Because I've seen him play and he's good. I mean, even if he's struggling to adapt and he's out of form, how is there no point at this season that he's been able to get into the Arsenal first 11? I mean, surely it's just got to be that Arteta doesn't fancy him. What else can it be?
Yeah, what else can it be, Andy? My goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some four to score.
Yes, now indeed it is time for Four to Score. As you will know, if you are a regular listener to this show, Betway's Four to Score is absolutely free. Each week, you just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, of course. And further T's and C's apply. Okay, we're going a little bit continental with a couple of these games this time around. Game one is Andy, actually, normally Marcus, but it's Andy this week. It's Bayer Leverkusen versus Werder Bremen on Saturday afternoon. Andy, who have you gone for?
So many attractive attacking players for Bayer Leverkusen. I wish I could say the same for Werder Bremen. I have decided to go for Leon Bailey, who's enjoying a little renaissance at the moment. So get ready for him to be written about in the gossip columns all of January.
Yeah, won't be the only Baileys you guys are looking forward to this weekend. game number two is RB Leipzig, the People's Club, versus Dortmund on Saturday tea time. Marcus, you're up.
I am indeed, yes. I've gone for Erling Haaland. Play it safe.
Never heard of him. Game three, Arsenal v Newcastle, Saturday tea time. The aforementioned Arsenal v Newcastle. Who better to give us his pick on this game than our resident Arsenal man, Jim Campbell? And here's what he had to say.
Hello, it's Jim here. I've obviously got Arsenal versus Newcastle for Four to Score, playing in the FA Cup on Saturday, of course. It's kind of difficult to know exactly who's going to start. So for that reason, I'm going to go for Nicolas Pepe, because I think he's likely to. He, you know, could well, you know, score the set piece. Who knows? I guess that's the name of the game. But yeah, I'm going to go for Nicolas Pepe.
A little bit of the fizzer about Jim there, Marcus.
Yeah, I thought that as well. Very unsure of himself, a little bit whispery, and reluctantly gave an opinion.
Possibly in a cupboard. Game number four is Man United versus Watford Saturday night. I've gone for Donny van de Beek because I just thought, you know what? I feel for little Donny. Mm-hmm. He's my second favourite Donny in the world. And if he's going to get a chance, it's probably going to be in this game. And I fancy him to show people who's boss. So, in summary, Leon Bailey, Erling Haaland, Nicolas Pepe, and Donny van de Beek are our four picks for Betway's Four to Score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. All right, then, it's what you've all been waiting for. It's fire in the belly, head in the freezer time. It's time for this.
Spot It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Yes, indeed. We have the People's Champion, the lineal champion, the long-serving champion to my... He's not even to my right or left today, sadly, but it's Marcus Speller. How are you feeling, Marcus?
I'm feeling good, baby.
Good, okay. And probably, Marcus, I'm sure you'd agree with this, despite protestations, that Andy's probably your most respected opponent?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. And Andy, how are you feeling ahead of this?
Well, you know what? Despite the fact we're remote, that theme tune does give you chills of anticipation. There's no doubt about it.
Listen, those chills might well be, my friend, because you've got your head in the freezer. We'll find out. So what we're going to do, I'll do a quick explainer. I'm going to give you a name of a player and how many clubs they've played for. You guys have to auction and bid for how many of those clubs you can name. When you win the bid, you'll be asked to name them. If you get a team right, we'll wait for a little pause and you'll hear a ding. If you get a team wrong, you'll hear the famous, probably ripped off from Family Fortunes, let's be honest. So, all right, Marcus, because you're the champion, Andy gets to go first, as is the custom. Andy, you are up first, my friend. And the first player has played for six clubs. He retired in 2013. He is Danny Murphy.
Danny Murphy.
Oh, what? Unbelievable.
And a quick game is a good game here, my friend.
I am going to go for four.
Okay. One thing I should say, actually, Marcus, before you decide whether you're going to go five or not, you know, you guys are remote at the moment, so this is being done on a trust basis. This is like in a shop when you just put your 50p in the pot at the end of the shop to take your newspaper. Yeah. Do not cheat or we will find you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think of all the contestants, I think we'd be the safe ones. Jim as well. If it was Vish, we'd need CCTV.
I think I'm going to stick my neck out here and say I think the same about Kate and Jules.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Just terrible standards.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just kidding. Marcus, do I hear five from you or do I hear you wanting to name Danny Murphy's four? Andy Brassel's four.
The thing is, I'm four is the sweet spot here.
Big time. Right on the slot.
I'm going to go five. I'm going to have a go.
Andy, do you want to go all six?
Since I've bid, I can think of five, but no, I'm not going to go six. No.
All right, Marcus. One at a time, please. Wait for your ding or your cross at the end. Uh-huh. Five clubs that Danny Murphy has played for.
Liverpool. Fulham. Tottenham Hotspur. Charlton Athletic.
Oh, one to go.
Crewe Alexandra.
Very well played. Very well played. 1-0 to Marcus. So the only team you didn't name there, I think, is Blackburn Rovers.
Ah, of course. Mm.
So he ended his career for a season at Blackburn. He started his career at Crewe, Liverpool, back to Crewe on loan. But, of course, that doesn't count because he's already been there. Charlton Athletic, Tottenham Hotspur, Fulham. Illustrious 5 years at Fulham, by the way. And then ended his career at Blackburn. 1-0, Marcus.
Yeah, I had Tranmere Rovers in my head, but I thought, no. I remember him talking about Dario Gradi on the Ramble meets you did with him.
Still available to listen to on Football Ramble Presents. Two-parter. Very interesting.
Indeed.
Okay, Marcus, you're up first this time, actually. So a chance to go 2-0 ahead if you take the initiative.
It's a dangerous
lead. You are very much still in the game. So the next player has played for six clubs in total.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's still playing, actually. Uh-huh. It's Luis Suarez.
Big Lou.
Yeah.
Big Lulu.
You'd be right to fear Andy Brassel's potential in this.
Yeah, no, I do. I very much do. Six clubs, you say?
I do.
I'm going to go five, put a bit of pressure on Brassel.
Andy?
Yeah, I can't go more than five.
Oh, really? Mad. Okay. All right, Marcus. So one at a time, please, to go 2-0 ahead.
Yeah.
Do us all a favour and name five clubs that Luis Suarez has played for.
Ajax. Liverpool.
Good.
Barcelona. Atletico Madrid.
Still there, baby.
Now, this one's the guess. And I thought to myself, I knew Andy would have those four, obviously. And I'm going to just... There's two obvious ones from his homeland. I'll go Peñarol.
It's the other one.
Nacional.
Yeah. He started at the other one, mate, and then in between that and Ajax, he was at Groningen.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that.
And Andy had that one, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Thought Andy would have. Yeah.
You are the people's champion. That's that kind of effort. Why? Yeah. I mean, it's a good effort. I'm unfortunate. Good
He's
logic.
He's probably Keegan'd it. He has Keegan'd it. And I respect that.
That's harsh.
No, it's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Well, Andy, 2-0 is obviously the most dangerous scoreline, so I thought I'm probably better off at 1-1 than 2-0.
I'll tell you what, it won't be in the Marine game this weekend. Right, okay, so Andy, you're up first again. It's 1-1 now, so it's all to play for. This guy's played for 7 clubs. He retired in 2012, a 20-year career. What this game has really taught me, actually, is how impressive a lot of these players' careers are because they go on for so long. So 7 clubs, Andy. You're up first. It's Nick Barmby.
Barmbo.
So how many has he played for?
7.
7. Okay, I'll go for 5.
Straight off the bat, Marcus.
Name your 5, Andy.
Okay, right, here we go, Andy. You're up for the first time, one at a time. 5 clubs of the 7 that Nick Barmby's played for.
Tottenham. Middlesbrough. Hull City.
Nah. End of his career there, mate.
Liverpool. Everton.
Very good. Yeah, that's your 5. So Nick Barmby started his career at Spurs. Went to Middlesbrough, then Everton, Liverpool, Leeds United, Nottingham Forest on loan, and then Hull City. So that's your 5. You're 2-1 up. The tables have indeed turned. Yep. But the good news is, Marcus, you are up first for player number 4, who started his career in 1981. Ooh. And he's played for 8 clubs in total. Mm-hmm. It's Jurgen Klinsmann.
Klinsy. All right.
Bit tougher, this one.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. People listening can play along at home. Get your little notes app out. Have a little spin.
I'm going to go 6.
Ooh. Oh, that's a big bid. What a bid.
Right, let's have it. Come on.
This is Alan Boxitch all over again. Andy, do you want Marcus to name 6?
Yeah, you're bloody right I do.
Okay, all right, here we go. Marcus, what 6 have of I the done? 8 club. What have you? This is mad. You've got to do it now.
All right,
Marcus, you can only mention Bayern once.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich. Tottenham Hotspur. Inter. Monaco. Sampdoria.
This is fucking brilliant.
It's amazing.
Stuttgart Kickers.
Fucking now. Where's that come from? Where's that come from? What a performance from the people's champion. Well,
I remember him playing at Stuttgart, but he wasn't VfB Stuttgart, was it?
He played for them after that.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
He played for both.
Oh, okay. I could have said that then. I was showing off with Stuttgart Kickers. Well, I remember there was a Stuttgart in there, but I thought to myself, hang on, it's not VfB because I remember, yeah, him playing for sort of not one of the big sides to start out with or something. But anyway.
I'm going to stop you there because he played for VfB Stuttgart more than any other club. But anyway.
Yeah. My memory failed me.
It doesn't matter.
It's a bit embarrassing that, really, isn't it?
Stuttgart to Kickers, then Stuttgart, Inter, AS Monaco, as you mentioned, Spurs, Bayern Munich, Sampdoria, back to Spurs for a bit, and then a little bit of time out of retirement for Orange County Blue Star, which I'm led to believe does count.
Does it? Because I wasn't sure if they... I remember him playing in California. I couldn't remember the side, and I wasn't sure if they were professional or not.
If you couldn't remember the side, it doesn't matter anyway. Yeah, Russell, it's 2-2. You're up first because you are the challenger. This has been an epic encounter, actually, but this is the deciding player. He's played for 6 clubs. He retired in 1998. His name is a legend of the game, to be fair. His name is Ruud Gullit.
Big Ruud.
Gullit. I think I should go 4.
That's the slot, Marcus, right there. You must be fuming.
I'm very unhappy with that.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Yeah, go on. I've got to hope Andy slips up.
Okay, you can't go 5.
Do you know what? I'm really annoyed at that Luis Suarez thing because I'd have had the match. And a 50-50. But there we are. That's the game.
It happens. You don't want to go 5, no? Just to confirm. I think people would like to hear you try 5. But if you're going to go out on your
side. Right, okay, that's true. I'll go 5 because he's got 4.
Yeah! I'm yours, Andy. Russell, do you want all 6?
No, I'm not having 6.
Sure you don't want six, Andy? It would really make my day.
It's like an auction where they're trying to give it away.
Yeah.
So, Marcus, you've bid five. Yeah. Andy, can I just confirm you're not going to go six?
No, there's no way I'm going six, no.
All right, more sensible. Okay. Marcus, you need to name five clubs that Rudy Hullett's played for one at a time, please.
All right. Chelsea.
End of his career there.
AC Milan. Sampdoria.
Oh, this is good.
Now, this is where I get slightly confused, so I might actually fail with the fourth, although I'm very confident Andy had the fourth. PSV.
Yes, okay. One okay. To go.
So I thought Andy, he was very confident. Go on then, Feyenoord.
Marcus Spellman.
What a performance. What a performance from the people's champion. Andy, you cannot argue with it. You just cannot argue with that kind of performance.
No, you cannot argue with that kind of performance. And if I was Will Smith, I would say it was wiki, wiki wild.
Appreciate that, Andy. Rough rider, you don't want nadder, Andy.
My goodness me. Nothing can stop him. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing can stop the Marcus Speller People's Train. It's massive. It's got about 50 carriages on it, and you're all on board it. And today, everyone, it was stopping at Andy Brassel's station.
For a bit, and now I'm off.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute ruddy pleasure. Look forward to the FA Cup third round action starting tonight, of course, and then all throughout the week. And what would be nice about the weekend is games will be kicking off around the same time. We have an event again with football rather than just individual games. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure you are, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.